previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Like I care. It's just a greeting. No big deal. I don't really care how you are. It's just something you say. If you don't understand that by now, then you're delusional, because people don't tell you things because they just, it's just something you're supposed to say. We all walk around with scripts. We do. You're supposed to say certain things. Like when you see somebody, when you're walking your dog or something in the morning and you see another person and you wave to them and you say, good morning. That's nobody cares about you. It's just like, get out of my street. But you say good morning because, you know, or you meet somebody there, you know, you haven't seen in a while. And go, hey, how you doing? You don't care how they're doing. Who cares how they're doing? They could be having horrible, horrible things going on with them. You don't care. You just ask the question because you're supposed to ask the question. It's rhetorical. Don't answer. Don't say I'm doing fine, because they don't. Then you're just playing into their hands. This is what people do. They just, hey, Bob, hey, yeah, hey, you're looking good. You're looking good. How's everything with the family? And Bob, don't respond to that. Just go, oh, shut up. Just respond by saying, oh, shut up. Stop placating me. Stop. Hey, what did you do? Hey, how are you? How was your weekend? How was my weekend? Do you want me to go through how my weekend was? Do you really care how my weekend was? Do you seriously want to hear the blow-by-blow description of every single hour of the entire weekend? No, Ron, just give me the highlights. Do you even care about the highlights? This may take way too long, and you have no interest in this. Why did you even ask me that question? It's because you're supposed to. There's a lot of supposed tos. It's like Thanksgiving. Let's just have Thanksgiving, just you and me. No, we have to invite the family. But the family sucks. This is the reason that we only see them once a year. It's because we have to. They all suck. At least Uncle Sid, don't ask him. Oh, he always gets food in his beard and he tells these stupid jokes and he acts like a moron. Do we have to have him over here? Maybe he'll die before Thanksgiving. It's the only way out of this. We have to ask him. He's family. Oh, there's another one. We have to do it. It's family. Oh, what? You have tied yourself to the noose when you do that. family members that suck shouldn't be getting a free pass because they're quote-unquote family. You can't, if you're the biggest asshole in the world, you can't go to Thanksgiving dinner because you're family. You need to stay home away from other human beings. You're toxic. Nobody likes you. We do things because we have to do things. I feel that same way about taxes. I don't like where my tax money goes. This has been going on for decades. You know, I don't believe my tax money should be going to certain areas, but I have to pay it. I don't like it, but I have to. It's another have to. All these have to things. Joni's birthday party is Saturday. We're invited. Oh, do we have to go to Joni's birthday party? She is such a bitch. I don't want to go to her party. Then, oh, and then her husband's going to be there. What a jerk. Do we really have to go? Can we just stop in like for 30 seconds and give him a card and just peel out of there? No, we have to go. It's Joni's birthday. So how with Joni? Are we the only people going to Joni's party? No, I assume there'll be other people there. Well, then let them go to represent us. I don't want to go to Joni's party. Joni's so stupid. And she smells like dog poop. Have you noticed that? There's some odor that protrudes from her body. Smells like excrement. She's disgusting. We have to go. Oh, man. Do you ever get invited to somebody's wedding who you really don't like that much? Not only do you have to go because it's the right thing to do, but you have to give them a gift if you go. And it used to be, you know, you could go down to the store and find a crock pot. Those are slow cookers for you millennials. You put the food in this pot, you plug it in, and 8 hours later, your food's done, you know. It's really wonderful. It's very tasty, by the way, very tasty. But you used to be able to pick those things up, you know, really cheap, or get a used one, like, for $8, you know, and that would be the gift. Or you go down the basement and, hey, there's some silverware we don't use. Let's wrap that up, put it in a box, and give that to them, you know. But now, no, now it's got to be money. It's got to be cash or a check. Well, how impersonal have wedding gifts? No, they're starting out in their lovely little wedding lives, and they're going to set up a apartment or a home together, and they really need the cash. What? What a cold, cold gift that is. Why not a crock pot, a slow cooker? They can use that every day. They come home from work, and there's their meal completely prepared in this crock pot. It's tasty. Everybody is happy. Ron, you can't do that anymore. You have to give them money. All right, how much money do we put in the envelope? I'd say $10, maybe 15. How about $15? All right, 20. We'll give them a 20. We'll call it a day. Ron, you can't do that. Well, how much money do you think we should be giving him? Oh, at least $100 or $200. What? I'm not giving them that kind of money. Crockpots are only $8 now. You gotta give him cash, man. You gotta do it. Oh, this is awful. I hope we never get invited to another wedding. I can't afford it. Ron, they're having a celebration, and you know, even if you sit down at the reception and eat the baked stuffed chicken, which I can't stand, that's like $20, so at least you got to pay for your own meal. Fine, I said $20, isn't it? Didn't I say $20 originally? How about just giving them $20? We don't even have to, I don't even have to put it in an envelope. I'll just slip it to them, you know, I'll shake their hand and I'll grease their palm with a $20 bill and we're out of there. I don't even want to stay for the baked stuffed chicken. We'll get a hot dog down the street. Come on. Why do we have to go to this thing? Because I work with her in the office, and if she invited me and if I didn't go, then I would never hear the end of it. You can hear the end of it. Don't listen to the end of it then. Oh, man, I don't even know these people, and I don't want to. We do a lot of have-to stuff. Have to be, be nice to them, Ron. Why? Because you have to. Where's that? Is that in the Bible? Does it say be nice to people? Actually, it does. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't write the damn thing. I didn't write it. Why does that pertain to me? I'm a Jew. Anyway, so why is this? It's in the Ten Commandments. I don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. I think one of them is like honor your partner in your corner. No, wait, that's the do-si-do square dance thing. Don't have sex with your neighbor. Well, that's already done, so that's not going to work. I don't know the rest of them. Cover your mouth when you cough. Is that like one of the commandments? I don't even know. A lot of have-tos. There's a lot of have-tos. I'm sick of the have-tos. Well, anyway, there you go. So anyway, it's the end of May. Did you know that? Are you following the calendar days? It's the end of May. I don't know what happened to May. I didn't know it started, to be honest with you. I thought we were still in April. But for some reason, we're at the end of May. And we're knocking on the doorstep of June, and before you know it, it's going to be the fall. And before you know it, it's going to be the winter again. This is going way too fast. Someone's got to slow this down. Where's Superman when you need him? Do you remember in the Superman adventure? No, again, millennials, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Superman used to fly up into space, and he used to fly around the Earth in the opposite direction of the way that the Earth usually turns. And in doing so, quite logically, according to Einstein, that turns back time, you see. You can go back to any moment in the past simply by spinning the Earth in the opposite direction. And only Superman has the power to do that. So, yeah, so that would be good. But can you find Superman? No. You could find Batman because they used to have a bat signal. The people in the Gotham City there, they used to have this gigantic searchlight and they had a cutout of a bat at the end of it so that when you shined it up onto the clowns, when you shone this thing onto the clouds, it would be the insignia of a bat. And Batman, who was really Bruce Wayne, I don't know if you know that. I hope I'm not exposing anything. He would see the bat signal and he would put his costume on. You can't go out of the house without the bat costume on, obviously. And he would be summoned in that sense. But for Superman, there was no real way to find him. Clark Kent just would have happened to have been in the area to learn about some type of peril or danger. And then he changed into his costume, and it could spin around the world and, you know, make time go backwards. And I thought that was pretty cool. I think I would love to do that. If I had three wishes, the first wish would be, I'd like a plate of spaghetti right now. I think that'd be really nice. I really like spaghetti. I don't know why, but I do. Pasta, man, pasta. I don't know who invented that stuff, but pasta and cake, get out of here, man. That's awful. Those are evil, evil foods. They are empty calories, but you can't stay away from them. Pasta, cake, and ice cream. Oh, man. Our first wish would be to get rid of those things. Second wish would be to actually turn back time. Third wish would be, I'm going to save that one. I'm not going to expose it because I think if I expose all my wishes, I don't get any of them. So I'm going to beg off on that one. We have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the show. You've been very entertaining to me. I've been able to laugh at everything you've said. You're really wonderful. Does this make sense to you?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does. We'll be right back.
talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
I was sitting in my car yesterday. Actually, I was driving along while I was sitting in the car. And I turned the radio on just for fun to remember what it was like to turn the radio on in my car while I was driving. And who's on the radio? You don't know. I'm going to tell you. Barry White. Oh, do you remember Barry White? Yeah. He was very heavy set singer, and he couldn't sing at all. But somehow when he did sing, it was sexy.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. There's many times that we've loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough.
And I don't know. He had a deep-throated voice. And I got turned on. And this is Barry White. I mean, wow. Barry, I wanted to have a voice like Barry White because he was the epitome of a sexy voice. I can't imitate his voice, but can you imagine going through life as Barry White, going into a drugstore and saying, "Hey, lady, do you have any cough medicine?" And they go, "Oh, my God, can I have sex with you right away on the counter?" What a wonderful, wonderful. That's my third wish, by the way. That would be my third wish. Oh, man. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm going to share something with you that I haven't shared in about 5 years. I was doing my broadcast radio show at with so many stations, I can't remember which one this was. WXBR. It was a station that was a little bit south of Boston, and it was Veterans Day, and I just happened to there was an interview that they used to schedule interviews for me. I would do interviews on every show. There were like 3-4 hour shows that I was doing every weekday. That was really a lot. So there was it was Veterans Day, and they had set up an actual interview with a vet, and I thought, okay, cool. This is actually what happened on the show.
Let's do the thing here. Let's speak to. We're going to talk about Veterans Day. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
Well, how did you spend Veterans Day yesterday? I know you did some special stuff.
Well, I think I spent Veterans Day thanking the veterans in the world.
Sir.
But actually, I'm a veterinarian, and that's who you're speaking with.
That's
Dr.
Right.
John DeYoung, and I'm a veterinarian.
Look, I figure one vet is good for another vet.
Absolutely. But no, I'm here to talk to you about the 150th anniversary of the American Veterinary Medical Association, on which I serve on the executive board, and any questions you guys might have about the veterinary profession, veterinary care for your animals, etc.
And I thank the veterinarians for making our country safe and what it is. I'm trying to tie the two together. Now,
sure will.
Okay.
Well,
oh, so embarrassing. Funny, but embarrassing.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what Mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hello, Doctor. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Great. Dr. Jeffrey Janis is president of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Ooh. Okay, I guess you're going to know what you're talking about here, because plastic surgery, quote-unquote, has become quite popular cosmetically, but also some people actually need it for physical reasons. So has it become more popular over the years?
Absolutely. If you take a look at our plastic surgery statistics as compiled by our organization, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, every year plastic surgery seems to be more and more popular, both cosmetic and reconstructive.
Yeah. Where did the term plastic surgery come from? You're not using plastics, are you?
Yeah, it's actually an ancient Greek word, and so it talks about transformation.
Okay. All right. So, what are the various types? What is the most common type of cosmetic plastic surgery?
Well, when you take a look at the statistics from this past year, there's, and we can divide it up into maybe surgical and minimally invasive, the most popular surgical procedures are going to be breast augmentation, liposuction, nose reshaping, or rhinoplasty, eyelid surgery, and tummy tuck. If you take a look at maybe the needle instead of the knife, that's when you're talking about things like Botox, fillers, chemical peels, laser hair removal, and microdermabrasion.
Okay. All right. So where do we start? My goodness. How do you know who a good plastic surgeon is? I guess any time that you're going to be certainly invasive, you want a good surgeon no matter what that procedure is.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right. In order to find the right person, you should really look for somebody who's been board certified. By that, I mean board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, because not everybody who performs plastic surgery is a board certified plastic surgeon.
Right.
So how might your listeners find out who that person is, who's the right person, so to speak? I would suggest going to plasticsurgery.org. That's the official website of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Every single one of our 8,500 members in this country is board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. That means that they've gone through a ton of training. We're talking about maybe 6 to 9 years of training, maybe more, in order to be qualified to perform your procedure safely.
Now, could a board certified surgeon have had situations where a patient might want to know about it, like any type of lawsuits, that kind of thing?
Sure. I mean, if that were to happen, there's actually a data bank called the National Practitioners Data Bank that's a public record. And so if you're interested in that type of information, it is publicly available as our state medical board reviews. But if you're looking for somebody who's had the proper training to perform plastic surgery, and I should also mention performs procedures in an accredited facility, which is just as important to your listeners. It's not just who's performing it. It's where it's being performed. I would go to plasticsurgery.org.
Yeah, let's talk about that for just a second, because it seems to me that over the past decade or less than that, maybe 5 years, there have been a lot of businesses that have opened in malls, in industrial parks, that kind of thing, where they do a lot of liposuction. I could mention the company names. They nationally advertise. It's not done in hospitals. Is there a concern there, or is it the same kind of thing where there could be board-certified people there?
Well, you definitely don't want to get what I'll call conveyor belt surgery.
That's what I'm talking about.
You really need to know who's going to be performing your procedure. And so when you go in for your initial consultation, you really want to meet your surgeon, not who's just going to be available that day or who's on call, or it might change by the day of the week. You really want to establish a relationship with your plastic surgeon, and actually vice versa for that matter. I know that when I see my patients in clinic, I don't often operate on them unless I've met them at least twice, just to be sure that we get all their questions answered and we have good alignment. That's going to be very critical to the outcome.
Okay. All right. Now, so you have a board-certified surgeon. Are they board-certified in certain specifics, in certain areas? In other words, you wouldn't want someone who does breast augmentation reconstructing your nose necessarily. You might. I don't know.
Well, you know, there isn't a board-certified breast specialist, or there isn't a board-certified face specialist or a nose specialist. And so you really want to make sure that they've had the proper training. And if they have an area of interest or expertise, again, I would be sure that they're properly board-certified in order to deliver the result that you're looking for. When your patients go into the clinic, you know, they're going to have questions. You want to make sure that those questions get answered. You want to make sure you feel comfortable with your surgeon and the procedure that's about to be performed, whether that's in the clinic or the operating room. That's going to be a very important point.
What might be some red flags as I go through this search?
Well, like we talked about for sure, is if you're going into a facility and you're not even quite sure who your surgeon is or who is going to be, that's going to be a red flag.
Right.
You want to look for what I would call the three R's, and by that I mean results, recovery, and risk. So when you're interested in a procedure or an operation, you want to know what kind of results can be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, your surgeon may have before and after photographs that you can look at to help get you, you know, maybe more of a sense for what kind of result to expect. There is going to be a recovery period, no matter whether that's in the clinic or in the operating room. Any procedure is going to involve some sort of recovery, even if it's a small recovery. So you want to make sure that that is understood before you get your procedure. That should be explained by your surgeon. And then finally, risk. Any procedure carries with it a certain amount of risk. Your board certified plastic surgeon will be able to keep that risk to the minimum possible. And as long as that's explained to you and you feel comfortable with that, then that's something to take into consideration before you proceed.
If there's no large incision, like there's, you know, if the invasion is simply a needle type of thing, or a very small one, is that still considered surgery?
Yeah, so surgery is usually with a knife, but like I said, any procedure, whether that's needle or knife, is going to be something that's invasive. You know, a needle still has to go through the skin to get there, and so that's why we take it all very seriously. I wouldn't call anything risk-free or super minor. You know, you take it all very seriously.
All right. Should IVs be required for all type of invasive surgery?
Should IVs? Well, that is usually required for any type of surgery, whether that's performed in an accredited office setting or an operating room. Oftentimes, that may have an IV. Sometimes it won't. But the good thing about operating in an accredited facility is that you're also getting a qualified anesthesiologist or anesthetist.
Correct. Because, I mean, I hear so many stories of, in some of these odd factory type of situations, should something require an immediate response or emergency, the nearest hospital is not that close, and that makes a difference.
Well, it does, and that's why operating in an accredited facility means that your surgeon also oftentimes has the credentials to admit to a hospital. So if there's a situation that you need to be transferred to a hospital, then there's a safety net.
Yes.
There's a backup plan.
Yes. Okay, that's a lot to take in. Is there a website or some place of information we can be reminded of these points?
Sure, absolutely. Again, if you're interested in finding the right surgeon or even finding out more information about a procedure you may be interested in, I would ask you to consider going to plasticsurgery.org. That's the website for the American Society of Plastic Surgeons.
Lastly, you know, people, when they're shopping for a procedure or in a toy store, whatever the case may be, they sometimes go for the lowest price, which can be dangerous sometimes, I would assume.
Yeah, you're completely right. I would be more concerned about the patient who's more interested in shopping for their toaster than their surgeon. But if you want to look for the most cost-effective surgery, the most cost-effective surgery is the one that needs to be performed one time, not the one that needs multiple revisions. So that's why this conversation is so important in finding the right person.
Okay, one more time, the place to go.
Sure, plasticsurgery.org.
Great information. Thank you so much for your time today, Doctor.
Great. Thank you. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Well, you've been very patient today, and I do appreciate that. Everybody who listens to the show today is going to go home with a gift. I'm only kidding. You're not. I don't have anything to give you. I think I've given of myself to you on a regular basis, and I think that's really quite enough. Although I do have an old crock pot in the basement that I'm not using anymore, you're welcome to that. In the meantime, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.